This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum, the Scandinavian Tobacco Group, Lane Limited, and thecountrysquireonline.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It's been a good day here at the pipe shop. Man, January's over. We're getting into February, and it's Valentine's Day. And
wait,
and all that.
Today's not Valentine's.
Today's
Day.
Not Valentine's
okay,
Day,
okay,
but
okay.
It's coming up soon. Yeah.
Wait, is it what day is Valentine's Day?
It's February 14th. You know that day I spend with my non-existent girlfriend.
Hey, the Penny, your dog, I know is very pampered on.
She's very pampered. She is the hairiest person I've ever had in my life, other than you, maybe.
Wow,
I do love that dog though. She is my Valentine.
Oh, right on.
Yep.
I think our dog will. Well, she'll just treat it like any other day. She'll get food. She'll get love. It'll be fine.
But bark at things that knock on the door and probably chew on her rear end some.
You know, my wife and I, we used to be very anti-Valentine's Day. Like, my whole logic was that Valentine's Day is the day for, like, bad significant others to try to make up for the rest of the year.
Okay.
But now that we've got kids, like, it's like, all right, well, this is an excuse. So any excuse we can use, you know, we can
actually show that we love one another.
Exactly. Exactly. We can get them out
that's,
of the house.
Hey, baby, remember that's still a thing, this whole, like, relationship, marriage deal? Yeah. Isn't that fun?
No, man. It's that's good. Actually, you know, you've actually been in the kitchen here. You got something new on the counter tonight.
Yeah, okay, so kind of an announcement tonight. We have a new tobacco here at the Country Squire. We have not released it to the public. We've had it here on the counter for the last 2 days, but we have not said anything until tonight, actually, Bo. So we're announcing it. The grand opening for our new tobacco is tonight.
Hang on, do we have an exclusive here?
We do have an exclusive.
We almost, like, I
you
don't
feel good about that?
You've never given us an exclusive before. That's awesome. We got an exclusive, ladies and gentlemen.
Everything about Country Squire Radio is exclusive.
Oh, that's true.
This is our new raspberry cream pipe tobacco.
Dude.
And it's a jar full of it here. Bo, why don't you give it a smell real quick?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, if the name doesn't give it away, let me go ahead and tell you right now. It is very much an aromatic.
It smells like raspberries and cream.
How did you do that?
Hence, raspberry cream. It's a combination of just a bunch of different Cavendish and Burleys to make just a really nice, smooth, aromatic tobacco. It's got a really nice room note to it. It definitely smells like a raspberry. So the jar note on it is one of those when you smell it, that last little bit on the end of it has that raspberry kind of tartness that is so intoxicating. So, but yeah, really good. We don't even have a name for it yet. So, but it will later this week be available on thecountrysquireonline.com.
Gotcha. So raspberry cream is not yet the name.
It's not yet the name. Okay. We do not have an official name yet.
Fair enough.
So, yeah.
Fair enough. Well, just in time for Valentine's Day.
That's right. Yeah. Raspberry is kind of red, you know, Valentine's Day.
Yeah. You get like a sweetness to it. Yeah.
Yeah, like box of chocolates.
Could be something like that. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man, this has nothing to do with pipe tobacco or anything related to Country Squire Radio, but I just thought I'd share this. I was on a national commercial last week.
Was it for Pampers?
No. No, but in all fairness, I do have a lot of experience with that.
I was about to say, you've given them a lot of money. They ought to feature you at least
right?
a little bit, right?
No.
Yeah. So I didn't realize this. Tell me about it.
So, you know, I do another podcast called Flash TV Talk,
which
is an after show program for the CW's Flash. And it was really cool. Actually, the CW, they've got this fan talk thing they do, and they had me on as a guest. Gosh, weeks ago. I can't remember when it was, but they also broadcast this thing as part of the show. So like when the show's going during the commercial break, they have a, you know, tune in before the show for the CW fan talk.
Oh, dude, cool. Yeah.
It's really awesome. Well, anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm watching because, you know, we also watch the show as we're going to talk about it that week. I'm live tweeting and that commercial runs and I look up and there I am right there on the screen.
Oh, and that's something.
I know. It's like, oh, hey, that's me. I mean, it's very blink and you miss it, but it's still pretty cool. So anyway, for those of you out there who watch The Flash.
Dude, that's great.
They show it again. I'm the guy with the red mic.
Okay.
Stand out like a red mic.
Like a red mic.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Was it the red mic, that one with that Bozo cover you've got?
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
dude, hey, that's awesome, man.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. It's kind of cool.
Your celebrity status has increased even more.
Oh, well, you know. Yes.
Yes. Yes. this is just science. This is just science.
Exactly.
Hey, another announcement real quickly is actually the Ashton rep, our friend Vince Jones with Ashton out of Philadelphia, is coming to the Country Squire on February 17th. That's a Wednesday at 6 p.m. For those of y'all that aren't aware, Ashton is the American distributor for Peterson Tobacco and Peterson Pipes. And so, anyway, we're going to have a Peterson Tobacco and Ashton Tobacco event that night on the 17th. It'll be great. So please come if you're in the central Mississippi or, you know, in a general South area. A lot of times for these events, we'll have folks come from Memphis, Shreveport, Birmingham, New Orleans, et cetera. So please come. We'll have some adult beverages and lots of free tobaccos to sample and some promotions as well. So,
man, good stuff.
Yeah, anyway, bring it
on. So you said that was February?
February 17th, which is a Wednesday night. It's at 6 p.m.
Now that will be, I guess, the same week as another monumental day in the pipe community.
That's right.
The International Pipe Smoking Day. Of course, this is February 20th. And for the last 3 years, or at least almost 3 years of this podcast, we have...
Are you really going to say this?
We have annually, and without fail, done absolutely nothing.
It's such a good tradition.
I know. it's kind of like one of these things. It's like, oh, you know what? Every single year, I think we should do something for this, and we never actually do. So the question is, do we keep with tradition and just still do nothing, or do we do it up big and try to make up for the last 3 years?
I think we got to pay homage to International Pipe Smoking Day in some important way.
Yeah, we can do
You know, I tell you, I think I'd like to get feedback from our listeners and viewers. Like, what do you do to mark International Pipe Smoking Day?
That's
a great idea. If you could tweet that in, and even, you know, if you got any pictures or any related stories, we'd really love to hear that. Of course, you can get us at Squire Radio on Twitter or email us. We'd love to hear that, though.
Absolutely. Great idea. Well, man, we got a great topic for the folks tonight.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking plug tobacco.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. I thought this would be kind of a fun thing to go over. We've given recently some, you know, airtime to flake tobacco. We've kind of talked about the history of that. We talked about Navy tobacco a little bit. But I feel like our friend, the overlooked plug tobacco, kind of needed some love. And so, and a lot of these, you know, variants of pressed or, you know, kind of squished tobacco.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
You like that verbiage?
I think pressed is probably a little bit more better sounding than squished.
How about we? Yeah. So for those that like the squished tobacco, you know, you've obviously got flakes and you know, rolled tobaccos and crumble cakes, things of that nature are popular, but there's the plug that's out there as well. And so I thought we'd spend some time talking about that. So, you know, we have talked again about the variants like the flake or, you know, the Navy type tobaccos. And again, you know, you look at the history of these things and you think about these are the tobaccos that in a lot of ways were made for a convenience factor. Okay. So you've got, you know, think about kind of what we talked about with the you know, with the flake tobacco and you know, with the Navy, you know, you've got your you know, your tobacco sitting in the bottom of a ship and it winds up getting pressed because a lot of things are put on top of it to store, to make the transatlantic passage and all this kind of thing. So you've got that. You've got tobacco that's rolled up and kind of put into maybe a container or issued to a sailor in a roll, just so a tobacco can be, you know, sliced or chewed.
Pepperoni style.
Yeah, absolutely. Think like a Scudo or something like that today. But then, you know, or a Stokeby Luxury Bullseye Flake or something like that. But then you've got this plug thing, too, and you're like, you open the can and you're like, oh, it's a brownie. Isn't that cute? But it's like really hard, and it's made of tobacco leaves, and you can't eat it.
So plug. So I don't mind ever showing my ignorance because I'm eternally the voice of the newbie.
Yeah, you're great at it.
So I've always kind of associated. So is cake tobacco? Is that not cake tobacco, or did I make up that word?
So plug tobacco. We've got a piece here that we're kind of looking at. This is actually a triple play from our friend Greg Peace, GL Peace Tobacco. But plug tobacco tends to be whole leaf tobacco that's pressed into a very, very hard little cake. It's like a brownie. So it's very, very hard. I want you to feel that, Bo, and just kind of feel feel the texture.
Oh, dang, yeah, that's
So it's very dense. You feel, I mean, the thousands and thousands of pounds of pressure
with that.
That has been put under to place that, to make it in this form is really intense. A crumble cake, typically, or cake style, is going to be something on the whole, on, you know, generally is going to be something that is a already shredded tobacco or something that isn't whole leaf, and then basically is pressed into a cake that isn't nearly as dense as this.
Yeah, okay.
But can
be
torn apart just by kind of crumbling it. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, because holding it, I mean, from my experience with cake tobacco, I mean, it does, you can kind of almost rub it apart.
It gives way. Exactly.
This,
right.
I mean, gosh, I feel like you need to have like a chisel, if not like a knife or something.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, and you'll notice I've got my knife here. And
okay. I thought that was just to keep me in line.
Oh, no. It is, among other things.
Right.
But yeah. You know, a lot of times, and even on some of these plug tobaccos, I know our friend Greg on his tobaccos, you know, you'll see on the front of the tin a pocket knife that is kind of along with the picture of the of the tobacco. But
oh, okay, yeah.
See, there's a pocket knife and a baseball,
right?
And tobacco
and a baseball glove.
But you know, so the idea with plug tobacco is like you've got you know, whole leaf tobacco on average that's been pressed extremely hard into these bricks, and so it's extremely versatile. You know, you've got a tobacco that it's, you know, you can throw it in your rucksack, or you can, you know, just put it in the bottom of your purse or in your pocket. You know, you don't even have to have a container. It's just a little brick. And then when you want some, you take it off and cut some off. Yeah. And that's
all
it.
Right.
And that's it. So, you know, with plug tobacco, you're kind of, pipe smoking is already really finicky anyway, right? So you've got, you know, just think about, as pipe enthusiasts, we often, you know, miss, you know, lose sight of how nitpicky our little, you know, hobby and interest is, right? You know, well, you've got to use this kind of tamp, and then, you know, these kind of matches, and, you know, you've got to use this type of pipe for this and this type of pipe for this. And, you know, it's a hobby where there's just so many nuances. And with a plug tobacco, you're taking, you know, all the kind of meticulousness and Baroque characteristics, snobbery, you know, convoluted intricacies of pipe tobacco, and you're pressing it into this little brick.
Yeah,
and there it is.
So, well, is the pressing method different for this style when it is kind of the whole leaf like that?
I don't think so. My understanding is that they just put it under a lot more pressure.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, it'll vary on the times that they press tobacco like this. So, you know, some of them are just a couple months, some probably just a few weeks, some are longer than that.
Gosh.
So, again, the pressing process is going to let those leaves marry together in a real intense way. You've got, you know, really, really wet leaves, really dry leaves, you know, some that are lighter and darker. And so those will meld and kind of marry together and create this real intense experience. And you know, you wind up with a little brick like that.
Well, what about the consistency, though? I would imagine that would mean you're going to generally get like a drier tobacco when it's all said and done.
Yeah. You'll see that a lot. And actually with this, you can kind of see, Bo, where I've cut this out with my pocket knife here.
Yeah.
You know, you've got these are whole leaves in this little brick, and even you can see, like, as you're looking at this brick of plug tobacco, the different, you know, leaves of Burley and Virginia. I believe there's some Perique in this triple play as well. And so you'll look at it, and you're like, man, if you don't cut it apart finely, you're going to wind up putting a whole leaf of tobacco in your pipe,
right? Yeah.
And so, you know, as you're kind of slicing at it and such, you wind up with a pretty fine tobacco cut, as you can see what I've done here.
So that is actually the desired kind of texture when it's all done. Not because, I mean, you know, you think of your ribbon tobacco, this is far, far thinner.
It's finer than that. Yeah. I will say, you know, this is how I like it. This is, you know, again, I've noticed with plug tobaccos, if I cut it very fine, almost like a shag style cut, then I can get a really, really good even burn on it that lasts a long time. If I get more chopped, where I wind up getting large chunks of tobacco, sometimes you can miss a little bit and like pull off a big leaf like that, and just kind of, you know, you've got kind of a chunk that's errant out there. A lot of times those, you know, if you have a lot of that, it's kind of hard to keep lit. So, but you know, it's interesting, the origins of this. You had a plug tobacco, obviously, was very popular in the 19th century. So think, 1850s and such. You've got tobacco, and they would take a lot of the poorer quality tobacco and actually press them together. You think of like stems and ragged leaves and tears and things like that. And they'd actually mix them with things like molasses and licorice, sugar, things that might impart some kind of flavoring to it, and then press it into these chunks like this. So that's kind of where the plug came from. They put it originally into like a barrel or even like a hollowed out log. Think of like the origins of perique, how the Indians used to do that. But they would press it very firmly into, some kind of device. They call that the plugging. They would plug it into this thing. And that's kind of where the name comes from. I always thought it just kind of looks like a plug, like something you just kind of, I don't know, just it looks like a plug.
I mean, I guess.
You know, when plug tobacco came out, and again, came out as kind of almost too deliberate of a term to say when it debuted, but when plug tobacco was kind of in its heyday and was developed, this was a tobacco that, you could look at and you'd be like, okay, I can throw this in my pocket. I can put it in a bag. I can stick it, really anywhere.
As is,
you think of like, nowadays you open the tin and you look at it and you're like, yeah, I can do a lot of things with that. Mm. And so you take this tobacco and you have the option of either cutting some of it off and putting it in your pipe or chewing it. Okay.
Oh.
So yeah, you had the opportunity to actually chew this as well. And I think, low quality tobacco, you had a lot of stems and tears and ragged leaves and things like that. They'd flavor it. And then you could put it in your pipe or chew it. A lot of folks would even just, take a bite off of it if they were able to. So just kind of rip a plug off with their teeth, Nowadays you've got two distinct types of plug tobaccos. Okay, so the original plug was something that you could do both with and was intended for both. But nowadays the popularity of plug tobacco has really kind of gone in two different directions. You've got tobacco that are low quality that are meant for chewing tobacco. So think of like a Levi Garrett or Red Man or something like that. A chewing tobacco that is in plug form that's actually meant for chewing. And then your much higher quality tobacco that's been set aside to make pipe tobacco out of. So there, even though the plug kind of its origins was, here's your plug, chew it or smoke it, it's your choice. And nowadays they're really separate products altogether. Mm. And so you've got, plug style chewing tobacco. The difference is, with your chewing tobacco, it's going to be, again, a lot of, torn leaves and tears and stems and things of that nature that are flavored. And that's very unpopular today. So you don't see a lot of that anymore.
Right, right.
If you go around, to your gas station and say, I'd like some plug tobacco, they're just going to look at you kind of like, what are you, is this some kind of witchcraft or something?
Right, but, yeah.
If you go to your tobacconist, though, that happens to run an upstanding pipe shop like the Country Squire, they'll point you to a plug pipe tobacco, which is a totally different product. And these are going to be, again, kind of, premium leaves that have been pressed together over time to marry. Typically non-aromatic. This triple play here is Virginia, Burley, Perique. Real nice. We've got a couple others I'll talk about in a second. But, these are tobaccos that are meant to be cut up with a knife and then smoked in your pipe.
It's interesting even to think about it as kind of low, just throughout the origins of kind of the lower quality overall.
Yeah.
Because, there just seems something special about plug tobacco. You know what I mean? Like there's just, it seems like it's like a unique, probably because I'm so used to loose cut and everything else, but it just seems like if you're pulling out the knife and you're shaving away at this thing,
yeah,
something special's happening.
That's what I'm saying. It's earlier when I said, you're kind of taking all the snobbery and
right.
like, and mystique and just, I don't know, convoluted little tendencies of pipe smoking, and you're condensing it into this plug. Like it really is a lot of that. You think like something special really is going on when you're smoking plug tobacco. So I don't know. I kind of like that.
No, I can dig it, man.
Nowadays, like I said, plug with chewing tobacco is not nearly as popular as it once was. But in the pipe world, we're kind of experiencing a renaissance in plug tobacco. Got a few things here. Of course, the Triple Play plug, which I showed you, Triple Play by Greg Peace. It's a I'll read from the can. It's a Right Red and Bright Flue-cured tobaccos are joined by piquant Acadian Perique and a balanced measure of smoky dark-fired Kentucky. So, again, these are cut in two-ounce bars. So that's just one example. The Jackknife Plug, also by GLP's, is a dark-fired Kentucky leaf, ripe red Virginia, with the deep earthy flavors are layered on a central core of golden flue-cured for a hint of bright sweetness, then pressed into matured cakes, et cetera, et cetera. So another one. Also, another tobacco that we'll have for the Peterson event, that it will be here at the Squire later this month, the 3P Peterson Perfect Plug. This is probably Peterson's, if I'm correct, this is their third best-selling tobacco. Their first two best-selling tobaccos are the University Flake, the Irish Flake, and then the 3P Peterson Perfect Plug. And this is a tobacco that's just exquisite. It's actually probably my favorite Peterson tobacco. I would venture to say that. And it says, the excellent plug tobacco comprised of selected Virginia leaves from Africa and Brazil blended with burley leaf from Malawi. And it's just a very lightly cased tobacco and got a nice richness to it.
So, yeah, is that one, can we open that? Or is that?
We can, yeah.
I'm just kind of curious.
It's actually open, yeah. Now, this one's interesting. It's a lot darker than the triple play that we were kind of looking at.
And so you've already been going to town on this one.
Yeah, this one has had some love. and you can see, actually, this was pushed, mashed together, but it kind of fractured almost, cleaved apart at some point.
Yeah, like layers.
So, yeah, you've got little layers.
Ogres kinda have layers. Plug tobacco has layers.
I don't get the reference. But
Shrek.
Oh, good.
Parfait. Man, everybody loves a parfait.
I like Shrek. I do like Shrek.
You would have loved it a lot better if they said plug tobacco instead of parfait.
I would have. Parfaits are good too, especially the ones from Cups, which is next door.
Oh, man.
But this is a much darker tobacco than you can kind of see from that triple play.
Yeah, absolutely.
And real good. So this has been great. You can see the pocket knife kind of fissures that have come off the side of that. So.
I got to tell you, man.
Yeah, dude.
So like I said, there seems to be something special here. You can definitely, the snobbery kind of circulates it. I feel so intimidated by this.
Yeah.
I have never tried plug tobacco, and it's not like I'm just rushing to go out and do it because I feel like I need to watch people smoke plug tobacco a couple times.
I feel like so much of the plug tobacco kind of draw is the convenience factor of it, particularly for those people that are like working people, like people that like use their hands or out and about in a lot, like the guy that comes to mind. We've got a guy, a really good friend of our shop named Thomas, and he's in the Mississippi National Guard, okay? And this is a guy, he smokes his pipe mostly when he's at drill, okay, which they have, National Guard members go to drill typically once a month, and he'll go out there, and his plug tobacco, he always buys plug tobacco, and the reason is because he can just throw it in his rucksack and not worry about it. He doesn't have to keep up with a tin.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to keep up with a bag or anything. All he's got to have is his pipe, some form of fire, and his bar of plug tobaccos is just kind of floating through all of his stuff. And it's just really easy to keep up with.
And that
you
I
can
get.
You can put the whole brick even in your pocket, even without any type of tin or bag or anything.
But you still have to cut it up.
You do.
I mean, like, yeah, I guess the assumption is you got a pocket knife on you.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're in the military, you've got some form of knife close by.
Yeah, one would imagine.
Right.
Imagine.
We would hope so.
Good.
Yeah, anyway, it's just a lot of fun. It's fun to smoke. It adds another layer, if you will, to the pipe smoking experience. You know, there is that kind of romance about, when you're smoking a pipe, the preparation of it is so intense and such a part of the experience. And with flake tobacco, it even goes even more because you've got to tear your flake apart and get it just how you want it. Or even if you fold a flake, you've got a certain method of doing that. With plug tobacco, it goes even further. And
right.
So there's that much more preparation that you've got to even have an additional tool, a pocket knife, in order to do that. And so, it's just a lot of fun. I don't know. It's a different experience.
Does the dense pressing method, would it even work if it was kind of pre-cut tobacco?
It would, but again, I think you're going to have something closer to a crumble cake.
Sure.
Than you
like,
would.
And it's still, it wouldn't have the same kind of density.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
Okay.
They tend to, when you're already pre-cut, you know, ribbon cut tobacco or cube or anything like that. That's
you're already hanging on by the grace of God.
No. you are. You've already got a lot of surface area right there that's you know, exposed. So yeah, with whole leaf, it's just so much easier to mash them down really hard. And you'll see these big, if you look, Google up, you know, like pictures of plug tobacco, you'll see these big, almost like, think of like cookie sheets or something that are just full of tobacco that have been mashed down to that width. It's really cool. Yeah, really, really cool.
Incredible, man. And hey, appropriate that actually the customer that you referenced is kind of up in the military. Man, we got a military reference as part of our sponsorship today.
We do, don't we?
Yeah. So, of course, if you've been tuning in the last couple episodes, you already know Missouri Meerschaum has been helping making this show happen. In fact, this particular episode is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and specifically two pipes you may or may not be familiar with. I'm talking about the Patriot and the General.
Patriot and General.
Now, you can often find these two pipes paired together. The General is, you know, when you think corncob pipe, we've talked about it before, but just that MacArthur, just that giant corncob pipe. The General from Missouri Meerschaum is kind of in the same vein, except like cut that in half.
Yeah, yeah.
Real tall corncob looking pipe with kind of the base going out a little bit further down underneath the stem than what you're accustomed to. But for me, man, I am all about the Patriot.
Yeah.
You know, the Patriot is such a unique look that just screams Missouri Meerschaum.
It's kind of one of those things I think you mentioned before the show when you look at the Patriot pipe, you're like, that's what a Missouri Meerschaum pipe looks like.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's kind of got the little gourd looking thing on the top. It narrows down and then has a nice long stem.
It's like an upside down bell.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I could go with that.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, it really, what I love about the Patriot in particular is that it really showcases just the uniqueness that Missouri Meerschaum brings to all of its shapes. There's a quality, there's a specialness there. You know, you think with corncob pipes, there's only so much you can do. Well, check out the Patriot. In fact, we'll actually have an image attached to the show notes for this episode.
I think I'm more of a General guy.
Are you really?
I mean, it's, you're going after Douglas MacArthur.
Right? Well, I tell you what.
But half his size, because if you did the full size, you just...
So you're half the size of General MacArthur.
at most half his size.
I tell you what, we'll put it up to you. So if you've got a General or you've got a Patriot, take a selfie of yourself this week smoking that pipe. Let us know which one is your favorite. That is the way you do it. As you're tweeting those in to us, we will be sharing those photos out. So if you got your General or your Patriot, selfies this week, we'll share them out at Squire Radio on Twitter.
Great pipe.
Yes, indeed.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week is brought to us by Orlick Golden Slice.
Oh, man, I love it.
All right, so we got a little bit of tobacco trivia for you this week. You know, the Orlick Golden Slice, the blend is 100% mature Virginia tobaccos, but it does have a touch of something that you and I both love.
Hooray!
Perique. Yeah. That's right.
Man, I love Perique. It's one of those things that in the Orlick, a lot of times folks can't really find it in the Orlick. You taste the Virginias, there's some citrus you get there, but occasionally you'll have that little bit of pepper or just a little sweet heat, as it were, and it's that Perique kind of coming out from the back. And man, Orlick is just such a good entry-level Virginia Perique. And one of those that you want to stick with at all times.
Man, you're not lying. If you're looking at getting into flake, this is the one to go for. Got that nice little citrusy kick to it. Check it out. Let us know what you think. All right, pipe question comes in from Mark Van Vranken.
Hold on a sec.
Vranken. I feel confident in Vranken.
Were you reading that? Oh, there it is, Mark Van Vranken.
You thought I made up that name?
I did. I thought your dyslexia was kicking in.
No, not this time. It says, "Hi guys, I'm relatively new to the whole pipe smoking scene, and I wanted to ask a question about using a certain pipes for certain types of tobacco."
Yeah,
I know that the general rule of thumb is to use a pipe for non-aromatics and a separate pipe for aromatics. But your recent episode on Navy Flakes got me thinking. Even though these kinds of tobaccos aren't aromatics, when they have rum topping or include Cavendish, would it be wise to have a third pipe for just those?
Mm.
Or does it really even matter?
Yeah.
Thanks for the info. Again, this is from Mark VV.
Man, Mark, great question. You know, and you're going to get a variety of answers. You've got those pipe, how do we say it? Like... purists that walk with like a goose step, you know, those people.
Well, I
that, like,
okay.
Like, and they're going to tell you, you know, you need a pipe for, you know, English blends. You need a pipe for Virginias, maybe even double segment that Virginia Periques. And then an aromatic pipe. You've got maybe you'll have a pipe with for light aromatics, and then pipes for
purist
heavy.
Might be too strong a word there. It's the collector, man.
And they have their place, right?
Yeah,
they have their
yeah.
place. Now, as a tobacconist, like they're part of me that you know identifies and sympathizes with some of that. But
I would hope so. You got like 30 gazillion pipes of your own, not including the ones in this store.
I may or may not have a problem, but you know, it's yeah. There are two trays behind us here that are full.
Oh
of
my
pipes.
Gosh.
No,
these are yours?
Turn around.
Gosh.
No, I'm in a therapy group for it. It's fine.
Wow.
It's all working out.
That is not a joke, people. It's real.
You know, so you've got folks that are going to say, you know, you've got to put all these different types of tobaccos into different pipes. I'll be honest. For me personally, if something is an aromatic tobacco, it's got a casing on it that it becomes the focus of the, of the blend.
Mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, you know, this is a cherry blend. This is a blend that's supposed to be vanilla, a nutty flavored blend, a
raspberry
flavored blend, as is our new raspberry cream, or a caramel blend, like one of our other blends. But you know, you've got these different blends that the focus is on the flavoring. Okay, with a navy flake or anything that's got a little rum topping on it, or you've got other tobaccos as well, like you know, our friends at Cornell and Deal have Briar Fox. They'll take a little at the very, very end and put a little whiskey on top of it. Okay, just a little whiskey. Is it a whiskey tobacco? No, it's not. Is Peter Stokeby Luxury Navy Flake a rum tobacco? No, it's not. We do have a rum tobacco. It's called Treasure Island. And when you smell it and taste it, it's like, oh, this is rum. This is flavored like rum.
Can I attempt a cooking comparison?
Sure, go for it.
So like a chicken soup has chicken broth.
Okay.
And that chicken broth is like the reason. You know what I mean? Whereas when you're making gumbo, you use a chicken broth base.
But it's an ingredient. Yeah, it's like it kind of comes from behind and just is a supporting character. So tobaccos like that are going to have some type of small amount of topping, or you know, even in casing circumstances where it's just way in the background, I don't call those aromatic tobaccos. And I would be very comfortable putting those in any pipe. That's just me personally. So typically, you know, for me, I have gotten some heat from this from some of our listeners and customers. But again, just personal preference. I highly believe in personal preference in the pipe world. Do what helps you smoke your pipe. I've got aromatic pipes and I've got non-aromatic pipes.
Mm.
And in my aromatic pipes, I'll smoke anything that's aromatic and sweet. And non-aromatic, I'll put pretty much anything else. And Virginia tobaccos, you know, again, and this is just a personal thing, they're so clean that a lot of times I'll smoke them in either pipe. So even an aromatic pipe, I'll smoke a Virginia or a Virginia Perique or something like that in. You know, with me, yeah, might you get some ghosting from, let's say you smoked a raspberry tobacco before you smoked your, you know, Orlick Golden Slice or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You'll probably get some ghosting from that, but it's not a detrimental thing to the pipe for you to be putting that Virginia Perique in that pipe. So, you know, could you have a pipe dedicated to just Navy Flakes or just Virginias? Yeah, a lot of people do. I say if that's something you're interested in, go for it. For me, I have pipes that I like to smoke so much that I you know, I can't bring myself to dedicate them to just one type of tobacco because I find myself wanting to smoke the pipe just as much as I want myself to smoke a certain type of tobacco. So so I'll just go for it. And yeah, that's just me. But you know, I say follow your heart. It's one of those things, you know, I would not tell you have to have a, you know, a pipe specifically for those things, but others might.
It's a great question, Mark VV.
Real good question.
Man,
yeah.
We appreciate that. And if you got a pipe question of the week, send it in, csr@podastery.com.
Quick fire with the Squire.
All right, man, we've got our next to last, penultimate quick fire questions from Martin Sendevi.
Oh, that's a good word. Yeah.
I love penultimate.
Penultimate is a word.
Is that not so cool?
I think it's underused.
Well, I mean, you can only use it once, and that's the next to last time you do anything.
That is very true. Is this going to be the penultimate use of the word penultimate?
Probably not. Well, it is for this. I don't know.
We don't know.
It's impossible for that to be the case. Because the pen, and think about it. In order for this to be the penultimate use of that word, it would mean that next time we'd have to use it again, which means that next time it would be a perpetual thing. It's impossible for the penultimate to be the penultimate.
Everyone just blacked out. You'll come back from your coma in about 5 minutes. It'll all work out.
All right. He starts off. City center or countryside?
City center, on average.
Yeah, on average. That's good.
Yeah, on average. I mean, we live in Mississippi.
Right.
Do we really know what a city center is?
Hey. At least,
no, I mean, you've been to, like, you know, New York and fancy places like that. But, like, I mean, I was born in Houston, Texas, okay? That's a big city, fourth largest city in the country. But, like, you know, that's very foreign to me. I mean, we live in Jackson.
Sure.
I mean, so I'd be half and half, but, like, I'd kind of probably go towards the city center.
Yeah, I'm more of a city guy myself.
I like it.
Snakes on a plane or bears on a submarine? Now, I'm assuming I don't think there was ever a movie that was bears on a submarine. Of course, snakes
no, but
on
if
a
you
plane.
Had, but if you had to pick between the two, I'd go with bears on a submarine. Now, submarines are more terrifying than planes to me.
Seriously,
yeah, I mean they really are. Even though planes are very fragile, and you know, even though the statistics are what they are, and more people die in car accidents than a plane.
Plane goes down, like, you got a chance.
Yeah, you got a chance. But like a submarine,
you're
like dead. I mean, we don't have gills yet. Right? Oh, you might. I don't know. You might be one of those little Jurassic Park things. But, you know, I don't know. Bears are large, and you can identify them and hopefully subdue them easier than snakes. Snakes, uh-huh. Snakes just wig me out. I can't handle snakes.
So why did it have to be snakes?
Bears on a submarine.
Yeah. Oh, I would prefer bears, but I also would prefer the plane. Gosh, I don't know. I'm dying either way, right? You know what? If you're on a plane, you can use a... parachute?
Yeah, that thing.
I'm going to go with snakes on a plane.
Okay, good.
Okay. Salmon. Salmon smoked or baked?
I liked baked salmon.
Yeah, all the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a baked salmon guy. Smoked salmon's okay, but I'm a baked salmon guy.
You know?
Or grilled, but that wasn't an option, so we'll go baked.
Smoked salmon, it's if you're going to do like lox and bagels... Oftentimes,
you want smoked salmon if you're doing lox on a bagel.
Yeah, because oftentimes you can't get it. What is the method, the pickling method that that lox are typically?
Oh, I don't know.
I can't think of what it is. But typically you can't get that in Jackson, so you generally get smoked salmon.
Right.
Man, I love me some lox and bagels. So yeah, actually I'm gonna go smoked. I'm gonna smoke. And then finally, Norse gods or Greek gods?
I probably have to go with Greek gods, but just because I'm more familiar with them. Norse gods, I don't know, kind of have this like. Rugged, maybe pipe smoking factor too.
Yeah,
I don't know.
To
I mean, you think like Norse gods, like it kind of is more, invokes more Tolkien kind of stuff. I'm more familiar with the Greek stuff and like and read a lot of that. But yeah, I'll go with Greek.
You know, I love them both. You know, mythology is on the whole, I'm all about. Mm-hmm. And they're both, you know, the great thing about him, both those situations, all the mythology is so like toppled in and, you know, incestuous.
It really is. Yeah, it's insane.
It's crazy. Man, that is a tough one. That is individual Norse, overall Greek.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like there are certain Norse gods, you know, especially... Yeah, I'm going to go with Greek. I'll go with Greek as well.
Okay, yep. Okay, yeah.
All right, those are great questions, and next week we will have...
You really were painfully labored over that last one.
Well, it's tough, man.
No,
look,
good.
Morton's
that's
been...
Good.
I mean,
no, he's been on point.
It,
he's been on point.
It's been good. He's got... next week will be the last one, so thank you, Morton Sendevi, and hey, load us up. We've already got some of them in the waiting, but get yours in.
That's
send
great.
Them in. CSR@podasteria.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
All right, man, we got some great listener feedback in this week. First one is actually an iTunes reviews that comes in from ManThing772. It says, one of my favorites. I'm a relative pipe newbie, and this podcast has been a treasure trove of knowledge for me. It's always fun to listen to, and there is never a dull moment. Man, thank you so much for that feedback.
Thanks, brother. It says, the next one comes from Atlas Custom Knives on YouTube. He says, real happy you guys are doing these videos. The videos are really cool in their own right, but I've been working on second shift, which keeps me from watching live, and this way I can still catch the show Monday night after work, even if it's 6 hours late. Keep up the good work, guys. Man, I know on a late Monday night after work, it's tough to unwind sometimes, but we're glad we're a part of that. So yeah. Atlas Custom Knives, thank you much.
Of course, tonight we've had some fun issues with the YouTube videos and everything yeah. else, but hopefully those of you who've gotten this far haven't been enjoying the program. On Twitter, we got in, this was from Mark. He tweeted in a picture of himself during the blizzard, and I was 20 degrees where he was located. He says, I think I deserve an award for Pipe Smoker of the Year.
Man, no kidding.
And he actually sends a recommendation as well. He was reading this book, Christian Pipe Smoking, and says it is an excellent read.
That's great.
So we really appreciate that. Love getting this feedback in from you guys, especially those iTunes reviews. We got a nice little push lately. A couple of you guys have been sending them in, and we really, really appreciate that. So even if you're getting your podcast through other methods, we love getting them in, those iTunes reviews specifically. But we do want you to get your podcast through other methods like the Satchel Podcast Player.
I was about to say, what are some other methods folks can get them through, folks?
Hey, we got the Satchel Podcast Player out in beta for Google Play Store. We also have it currently by invitation only on iPhone, and if you want an invitation, head over to satchelplayer.com, get your name in. We will get you access to the beta for the Satchel Podcast Player. You can also tune into the show through the YouTube channel live every single Monday night. That is at 6:30 Central Time. That is 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern.
You're so good at math.
Thank you. Again, countrysquireradio.com is the location for that. Keep up with us on Twitter. You can follow me at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole. Or you can get us at the shop at @_countrysquire.
And of course, you can follow the show at Squire Radio. We love you guys, especially who are tweeting in during the live show. We got some great comments. One in particular I wanted to make mention of. Oh, Mark Farrar said that he's pretty sure that he only ever uses, he basically has his Twitter account just so he can interact with us.
That's really the only reason you need Twitter. That and like during sporting events to like see all these people erupting over things they can't control. Like yeah. Both of those things are good reasons.
So check it out, guys. All right. Well, we really appreciate y'all for tuning in, man. We had a fun night, man.
It was a great show. Yeah. I had a good time.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, hey, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.